All right, this is session 252, Mormon nudists, naked and not ashamed, a demonstration. Oh no, that's not in there. I am pleased to welcome you to this. It's going to be interesting. D. Michael Martindale is our presenter. He's been a Mormon nudist for the past 8 years. And has done a lot to forward the cause of Mormon naturism here in Utah. You might also know him as the author of Brother Brigham, which was published by Zarahemla Books a few years ago. And I'm happy to say that it features nude people. And it's also a very interesting book. The premise is, what do you do if actually visited by the spirit of a prophet of God? It's a fascinating book. You can buy it at the bookstore if you want. So, and D. Michael Martindale will be signing tomorrow as well. So let's see. He's also a web developer. And, he's been doing it for 9 years. So then David Pace will respond. David is the book review editor for Erie Antum, and also a very interesting guy to talk to. And he is the development director of the Reary Woodbury Dance Company. We have the feeling that probably the most fun that we're going to have here, is asking D. Michael Martindale questions. So we'll probably have some extra time at the end for questions. He's going to set the groundwork. And then it'll be kind of like that Woody Allen movie, everything you've ever wanted to know about naturism, but we're afraid to ask. Don't be afraid. We're just recording this, and we'll send it to thousands of people. Don't worry about it, right? And so when you ask questions, please use the mic, because remember, we have many ears all over the globe. We'll be getting the MP3. And I guess I'm going to turn the time over to D. Michael Martin.
I want to clarify that the book Brother Brigham is not about naked people. There just happens to be a small amount of incidental nudity at appropriate times. Anyway, if this were a sacrament meeting, I would be saying that I pray that the Spirit of the Lord can be with me, because I feel somewhat inadequate in covering the topic that I have. The problem is not trying to figure out what to say. The problem is trying to figure out what to leave out. Because on the one hand, my topic is one where there's probably not a great deal of foundation that we share. This is probably a totally bizarre, strange concept to most people in the room here. And I've got a lay foundation. I'm not going to say who, but some people are shaking their head on that. So I feel like I need to lay a lot of foundation before we can even start communicating. And yet I have a very limited amount of time. How do I take 8 years of experience and compress them into about a half an hour of information? And I don't know how to do that. I'm just going to do my best and probably fail miserably, and hopefully your question and answer session can clear some things up. When I started surfing the web a long time ago, sooner or later I came across some websites on naturism, which was a kind of fancy word for nudists. There's been a lot of argument, what's the difference between a nudist and a naturist? My favorite answer is, a nudist is someone who likes to be naked, and a naturist is someone who likes to be naked and make speeches about it. So you can probably guess which one I consider myself. But naturism is the philosophy of body acceptance, of not being ashamed of our bodies, of enjoying life in our natural state. It's the philosophy of non-sexual nudity, which alone is a concept that most people, is foreign to most people. I mean, isn't nudity always sexual? That's kind of how we're raised to believe, but there is such a thing as non-sexual nudity. And I read these websites about naturism. In particular, there's one called the Nature Society, and that's the website, thenaturesociety.com, where they had 205 arguments in favor of social nudity. And I studied all this stuff. I was kind of fascinated. It was intriguing. I read the 205 arguments, and when I got done, I just kind of go, I can't rebut their arguments. I can't think of reasons why they're wrong. What they say seems to make sense to me. But, as everybody knows, nudity is evil. Nudity is sexual. So, I guess there's something wrong with it, even though I don't understand what it is. And being a good Mormon, I guess this is one of those things that I have to take on faith. That nudity is bad, even though I couldn't figure out why. And then one day, when I was talking with a group of LDS artists, and the subject of nudity and art came along, one of them mentioned the existence of another website that I had not come across called LDS Skinny Dippers Connection. And that website is ldssdc.info. And I heard that and I go, oh, this I've got to see. So I got on there and started reading everything. My first reaction was, this is going to be entertaining, seeing what kind of rationalization they use. And I started reading. I read everything. There's a lot of words on there, and I read every one of them. And I got done, and I said to myself, I don't believe it. They're right. Naturism, non-sexual nudity, is not against the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's against a lot of the Mormon culture. It's against a lot of the folk doctrine that people believe in, which is what I call doctrine that people think are true, but is not really official doctrine of the church. But actual official doctrine, Mormon doctrine, is not incompatible with the concept of nature. And that was what this website tried to explain, and when I got done reading it, that's what I concluded as well. Now, in the latest edition of the Sunstone magazine, I go on with my story about what happened to me after that. I'm not going to talk about that here because you can read it in here, and I want to save the time to go into the concept of naturism, especially as a Mormon, instead. So, and again, I'm trying to figure out how to compress all this into a short amount of time. There's two issues involved here. First of all, what is naturism generally, and how does it fit into the American culture, which, compared to the rest of the world, is particularly body-phobic, compared to Europe, compared to Australia, compared to most other places, except with the obvious exception of Islamic countries. And then, specifically, how does naturism fit into the Mormon culture, or can it possibly fit into the Mormon culture? So let me first just tell you what naturism means to me. First of all, I just don't like how clothes feel on my body. I think they're uncomfortable. Certainly this summer, they've been stifling. I despise the feel of fabric on my body. I am much more comfortable without clothing. And so whenever possible, I just like to be nude because it's comfortable. That's just the beginning of it. One thing I like to do particularly is to go out into out-of-way places and hike nude. And this seems to be a very bizarre concept to most people. If I talk about going skinny dipping, everybody goes, oh yeah, skinny dipping. You know, most people have done that at least once in their life. Hiking nude, that's like saying, I grew up on Mars or something like that. But I compare, when I go out into nature, in my natural state, and experience nature without any artificial barriers between me and nature. It's an incredible sensory experience. I'm able to feel. To me nowadays, hiking with clothes on, I won't hike with clothes on, I can't stand it. Hiking with clothes on would be like going out there and doing this. Just covering up my eyes and looking through a little slit in my fingers and trying to enjoy nature that way. I feel blind all over my body with the sense of touch. Without the clothes on, I can feel the wind all over my body. I can feel small changes in temperature as I walk along. It's an indescribable experience. And I can't possibly convey to you what it's like. You just have to try it yourself, which I'm sure you'll all run out and do after this. So for me, just the experience of actually using my entire organ of touch to feel things alone is an amazing experience, instead of constantly smothering it and just feeling this fabric all day long. The next thing I really like about naturism is how educational it is. There's a lot of misconceptions about human bodies, especially as we grow up among our children. Now, we'll take our children to the zoo, and we think that's a wonderful educational experience. And it is. But what do you do at the zoo? You go there and look at the naked bodies of animals. And we call that educational. And yet, we deprive our children of the opportunity to see the bodies of the species they belong to, of the bodies of the people they'll live among, the body that they live in. This means that we never really see the life cycle of the human bodies. This means that the transition at puberty is kind of a mysterious thing. This means that the aging process is kind of a repulsive thing. I don't know how many times I've heard when the subject of naturism comes up, people talk about how, oh, I'm never going to let my old flabby body be seen by anybody, or somebody stumbles upon a nude beach and goes, I couldn't believe it, there's all these old people and fat people on the beach naked. What business do they have being naked? And that's the whole point. The fact that we hide our bodies and we're not used to seeing the natural cycle of human bodies means we're afraid of them or we're repulsed by it. The thought of seeing a nude old body and the youth-worshipping culture we have today, I think, this contributes to that. I consider naturism to be an emotionally healthy thing. I compare clothing to a mask. Now, in our society, custom, taboo, and law force us to be clothed virtually at all times. If you were to try and remove the mask of clothing and go outside somewhere, you'll end up in jail fairly quickly. Now, I think that's an emotionally unhealthy thing. Now, the rest of this, most people think this is normal. So to kind of make a comparison to show you what I'm talking about, I like to compare it to if custom, if our moral code, if the law forced us to go around everywhere wearing masks, how much of a psychological and emotional effect would that have on us? We all have to go everywhere wearing masks. We never see each other's faces, except maybe the eyes through the eye holes. What effect would that have on society? And this is not as strange a thing as you might think, because there are countries in the world where certain segments of the population are forced to wear masks. They're called burqas. They're forced to cover their face. In fact, if you run across a Middle Eastern woman accidentally stumble upon her naked, most Americans will do something like this, cover up the strategic spots of their body. the Middle Eastern woman will cover her face first, because that's the taboo over there. So it's not totally unreasonable to suggest or to consider what would it be like if we were legally obligated to cover our faces with masks constantly and we never saw each other. I think it's pretty easy to imagine what it would be like. We would feel disconnected. We would not feel a lot of closeness with each other. We would probably feel untrustworthy or untrusting of each other. And frankly, I think that's exactly what clothing does to us. And I say that because I know what happens when people remove their clothing and socialize together at places like naturist resorts or nude beaches or even locker rooms where the people don't know anything from naturism. They just take their clothes off because it's a locker room. That's what you do. It's what you used to do anyway. It seems to have disappeared lately. And there's a certain level of comfort, of openness that people feel with each other. Barriers are dropped. Trust develops. People become more open and casual with each other. There's conversations that go on in locker rooms that I can't speak for women because I haven't been in one, but with men, they wouldn't have those conversations in a clothed environment, but the barriers come down. And it's my firm belief that a great deal of the dysfunctionality in society where we have problems getting along with each other, have problems accepting each other, trusting each other, has to do with these masks we wear over most of who we are, always. The conditioning we go through to feel uncomfortable nude, I've been trying to think of a conditioning process that is more severe and more ubiquitous than the conditioning we get, I like to call it brainwashing, that we get to wear clothing. When we're born, we come out naked out of the womb, and one of the very first things that happens is a blanket gets wrapped around us. And that literally ends our naked days for the most part. From then on, we are clothed one way or another. When we're out and about, we wear regular clothing. When we go swimming, we wear bathing suits, which I think is an insane concept. A suit to go bathing in. When we take a shower, we take our clothes off, but we lock the door, we pull the shower curtains, we are essentially clothed while we take a shower. When we go to bed, we wear clothing to bed. Do you have any idea how comfortable it is to sleep naked? Every minute of the day. When we have sex, we're naked with our spouse, or our sexual partner for other types of people. But we close the door there. We are always covered. Our bodies are always covered every day, every minute of the day, throughout our entire lives. We are constantly conditioned that being naked is shameful and that we should be embarrassed to let people see our bodies. And I cannot think of any kind of social, emotional conditioning at all that's as pervasive, that is as ubiquitous and constant as that. Now, children come out of the womb naked, and they don't care. Children are natural nudists. Children have to be socialized into wearing clothes. Some of them, it's easier with than others. The process of socializing children to wear clothes, I consider to be an abusive process. Because what do? The child comes running out, maybe the home teachers are over, and the child comes running out naked, and the mother says, "Run in there and put some clothes on. You want these people to see your bare butt?" And the child's going, "I don't know, I've never thought of it. What's wrong with seeing my bare butt?" And we slowly start teaching them that there's something shameful about our bodies. And body shame has a great deal of negative consequences to it. Body shame is what makes it So people are afraid to go to the doctor and being examined a lot of times. I remember a quote in the Reader's Digest a long time ago that said, "Modesty has harmed more kidneys than bad liquor." Body shame, we all know our children have body shame. I mean, girls, women, adult women even. I mean, find one woman who's happy with her body. I defy you. It's just the body shame that we're taught. That none of our bodies are good enough. We look at the supermodels, we look at the ads in the magazines, and we don't realize how touched up even the supermodels are. And we think we need perfect bodies, and so you've got all these dangerous crash diets, we've got breast augmentation surgery, we've got bulimics and anorexics. This body shame is a very unhealthy thing. And why do we have body shame? Because that's how our parents trained us to keep our clothes on. Cover your bodies, your body is shameful. So, see, I'm already running out of time now, so I have to hurry on. I want to get into the issues of naturism as a Mormon. Christians generally often have issues with naturism because, well, this whole American body issue thing kind of started with the Christians back when they started calling the body corrupt and the spirit is holy and that kind of thing. And then the Puritans came to America and they continued this. And then the Mormons came along. Now, previous to Mormons, the general feeling about bodies is bodies are shameful. Mormons came along and changed the equation. They said bodies are sacred. And yet when I look at the behavior that comes from both concepts, it's the same behavior. Bodies are shameful results in a certain amount of behavior. And bodies are sacred results in the exact same behavior. And so this makes me wonder what's wrong with this picture, because if the same behavior comes from a true doctrine as it is a false doctrine, something's wrong here. Mormons have a tendency to think that sacred means hide it. Sacred means keep it secret, which is, you know, something these sacred but not secret thing is supposed to contradict. Sacred to me means not hide it, not keep it secret. Sacred to me means you respect it, you honor it, you reverence it. Now this means as a naturist, I would not go walking down Main Street naked because I'd be surrounded by a lot of people who'd be shocked and appalled and would not reverence what I'm doing. When I am among other naturists who understand and respect human bodies and understand body acceptance, they respect what I'm doing, and I don't consider this a violation of the body as sacred thing. Along with the body as sacred concept, and this is probably where this concept comes from, is that our bodies are temples. This is a metaphor that Jesus Christ used when comparing the temple in Jerusalem to his body, and I think this is a classic example of how a metaphor can be pushed beyond its limits. We've taken this thing and run with it. Our bodies are temples to all kinds of extremes. You know, our bodies are temples, so we have to keep them covered up constantly. So I'll go along with the game. Okay, our bodies are temples. What do we do with our temples? We put them on a hill. We make them beautiful. We glorify them. We light them up at night so everybody can see them. So if our bodies are temples, shouldn't we be doing that with our bodies?
The whole work is once a month.
What's that?
The whole work is once a month.
And let the whole work is once a month. The two greatest issues that Mormons have as far as naturism go are the doctrines of modesty and dress and wearing garments. And these are any Mormon who decides they want to investigate naturism or adopt it. And there are quite a bit more than you might think. They wrestle with these issues. The modesty issue is relatively simple to deal with because modesty is a very artificial concept. Modesty in dress is an artificial concept. It changes. What we wear today to church and feel very modest wearing would have scandalized Brigham Young 100 and whatever years ago that was. What we wear to the swimming pool would scandalize us if we wore it to church. Modesty is a fluid concept. And the whole idea of trying to control our thoughts and be modest by draping fabric over our body is kind of a strange artificial concept. To me, true modesty is in the heart and in the minds, not in the amount of fabric we drape on our body. And in fact, the experience of nature is that modesty, I mean, the whole purpose of modesty in dress is to diffuse lust, to help us keep control of our lust. In the first place, I have an issue with people who say, you need to dress a certain way so I can control my thoughts. I mean, that's kind of putting the responsibility on someone else for your behavior. But the fact is that clothing, rather than diffusing lust, actually creates it. Because we make certain parts of our body mysterious, titillating. We create sexual hotspots by covering them up. The thing I've learned is that when a body is just there, in full view, I mean, you can look at it. That's interesting. If it's an attractive body, well, that's, yeah. I get a sexual arousal from seeing it, but I get a sexual arousal from seeing an attractive person with clothes on, too. There's just not anywhere to go. When you look at a person all clothed and you're sexually attracted, you start focusing on it, you start dwelling on, well, what does she look like? Start addressing her with your eyes. It actually has the opposite effect. And we all really know that because women dress to be sexually attractive. The whole idea of women's fashion is to be sexually attractive. So deep down we know that. Now, 100, 200 years ago, women wore long dresses that covered their ankles. And the logic back then was that if a man caught a glimpse of a naked ankle, it would... He wouldn't be able to control his lust. Now we look at that and say, that's ridiculous. But we say that because we see naked ankles all the time. It doesn't affect us. It's commonplace. Now that's true of every part of the body. You go to some South Sea islands and women are generally topless. And nobody goes into a fit of frenzy, of lustful frenzy from it. They're used to it. It's commonplace. And if you were to visit a naturist resort, you would discover that is one of the most unsexual places on earth. Because it doesn't take long to adjust at all. And this idea that we need to be clothed with each other at all times, or we won't be able to control our thoughts, is simply a falsehood. It's not true. And there's thousands and thousands and thousands of naturists every day that prove that point. Garments is probably the greatest issue that a Mormon who wants to be a naturist has to deal with. We go to the temple, we're told we must wear them throughout our lives. And that's pretty much all the instruction we get in the temple. And then we go to the temple recommend interview, and they say, do you wear them day and night as you've been instructed in the temple? The phrase day and night never appears in any of the temple wording, so I don't quite understand the question. Nevertheless, we all know there are exceptions to wearing garments. And there's a piece of paper, there's a statement from the First Presidency that every bishop and stake president receives that they are to read to the members of the church when they have questions on the wearing of garments. There's one line in that statement that's really stood out to me. That line is that how a person wears garments is between the individual and the Lord. And to me, that's like, okay, that's kind of the basic principle. It's between the individual and the Lord how one wears garments. And then we get all these rules built up around that according to what various people think the Lord is going to tell us, I guess. Well, my feelings are that naturism is such a beneficial experience with a lot of advantages, a lot of social, physical, emotional benefits to us, that I consider removing garments to be naked in a nature's way to be a perfectly acceptable reason to remove one's garments. You certainly can't reasonably wear garments when you're trying to be naked. It's not possible. And I believe that this is one of the exceptions that's perfectly acceptable for a person who's doing it for the right reasons. Now I'm going to stop here now, and I think I've fulfilled my prediction that I would feel inadequate trying to express all this to you. I've done the best I can. Your reactions have been very fascinating as I've watched all of you, as I've watched some of you stand up and walk out in the middle of it. All right, now I would like to give Dave an opportunity to respond, and then questions you have, we'll take after that.
First of all, I just want to congratulate Michael on the publication of his book. I think that's, as a writer myself, that's a huge thing to see your novel come out in print. And is probably why I'm interested in this particular session, although the more I hear about it, the more questions are raised for me. And I guess I wanted to just divide my comments in three different areas. What I admire about what Michael has said today, and in particular his article that is coming out in Sunstone, or is out in Sunstone, which was my first encounter with what he is arguing and talking about. And so I wanted to talk about a few things about that, about what I admire, and then some questions that I have for him that were raised as a result of reading this and being here today. And finally, what I'd just like to add on my own. I'm not a naturist myself, but I am somebody in the arts. I was a stage critic for many, many years and ended up in development in of all things, modern dance. But I am a writer. I'm not a dancer. But these issues come up for us in the theater and in the performing arts all the time. And so that's kind of where I come to this. So I might, I'll probably talk a little bit about that as well. I think the questions he's raising about nudity and naturism are worth looking at. I mean, why not? Virtually nothing that he said, that Michael has said today, are sending off alarm bells for me. That's not to say that I'm going to become a nudist tomorrow or after I walk out of here, or that I'm not going to be shocked if I see nude people when I don't expect them. But I think, yeah, this is Sunstone. We get to talk about anything we want here. And so I honor that. I respect that. And I like the fact that he is identifying very strongly, and even more strongly in his article, the fusion of sex and nudity. I think that's probably true. The way I was raised is this nudity was equated to sex. I went to Israel when I was I went to Israel with my father on a tour when I was in high school, and I came back with my namesake, the David, and I put it on my bureau at home, and every day that my father, any time that my father entered my room, he would take a tissue out of the box and wrap it around his waist. And he really had a hard time, with nudity at all. And yet he grew up on the farm, and like Michael was talking about, and he, was not particularly ashamed of his own body necessarily, but really had a hard time walking through a museum, for example. So I think that is probably a cultural norm, actually, and it's perhaps amplified in Mormon culture, like a lot of things are. In the article, Michael talks a little bit about pornography, and one of the facts that he didn't mention that I will is that I don't have the reference, but it's pretty well understood that about 40% of the use of the internet now is pornography. And somebody was saying that the recent stimulus package that we all got from George Bush was mostly went towards subscriptions in a stimulating way on the internet. So, it's a real issue out there, and there are people who are addicted to pornography. And he talks about how nudity can sometimes diffuse and heal people who have who struggle with that addiction, which I found very interesting and plausible. Another thing that I admired about what he said is that he does acknowledge the fact that the body is not the garden of the soul for most of us, and that's quoting Angels in America there, which is a very sexy and provocative Broadway play and now a movie about Mormons, homosexuality, and AIDS. But instead, the body is a battleground of self-imaging issues. And it's not just about women. Men also are part of that, especially now. So the price we pay to have this view of our bodies is huge, in fact, and I think he's quite eloquent on that. The list of benefits of naturism raises important questions about how we raise our children. And I'm right on that page. I'd like to hear more about that and more of the particulars. I'd like to hear studies, actually. Most of his evidence here is anecdotal and personal, which is fine. But I'd like to know more about that. Those are interesting questions about how we socialize our children. And if, in fact, we are, what the difference is between modesty and shame. Learning to have body shame. Some of the questions that I have you haven't addressed really, Michael, the difference between nudism and exhibitionism, and I think that that's a real issue for a lot of us because popular culture is about exhibitionism. It's about selling sex sells and that sort of thing, and motivations are everything. You did talk about doing it in the right spirit and that sort of thing, but I think, you have to address that question as well before we throw open the doors or throw open the robe, as the case may be. I'm reminded, I have to tell you this joke from The New Yorker, where it's extremely cold and someone's standing, a man in a trench coat, the stereotypical exhibitionist is standing there in a trench coat with his socks on in front of a woman, and it's cold, obviously, and he's telling her, "Do you mind if I just describe myself today to you?" But exhibitionism is, pornography is an addiction, so is exhibitionism. And also another question that's raised is maybe your wife is right in this article when she says, this sounds like a rationalization, this entire sheaf of papers you've handed me about this website of LDS nudists. What role does rationalization play in everything that we do? We can talk ourselves into anything, that's for sure. And what are the social implications if all of us decided, you know, to become nudists. I don't know what the answers to that are. There are social conventions for a reason that aren't just about the shame that we have of our bodies. So also the warrants for how nudity is linked to spirituality, in particular in your article, are purely personal. It's a personal essay, obviously. And there's really no outside voices here, and I'd like to know what that link is in terms of, you know, what theories abound about the body and spirituality, and how for you in this particular article it is essential that you be nude. Well, maybe I shouldn't say essential, but it's an important part of your spiritual life. The other question I had was about the temple, the body being sacred as a temple, and you did address that. You don't address that necessarily in the article. So I felt that was one of the questions that I had for you. I think one of the other things that you talk about is how you compartmentalized your life is, how you can't share this with a lot of people in your Mormon life, and I suspect even in your secular life. And I find that that's true. That's been true with me as a Mormon, now as a self-described ethnic Mormon. I'm not a practicing Mormon. I wouldn't even say that I'm a believing religious person at this point. But my experience growing up and my experience living here and with Mormons is that Mormons constantly, and I'm generalizing, I know, compartmentalize their lives. So this is not unusual that you have this secret, as it were, which is not so secret anymore. But we do compartmentalize our lives, and it is a problem in our culture when we do that, because we can't share those parts of ourselves, don't talk to each other, and so we have kind of a schizophrenic existence that I think breeds a lot of problems that I don't really want to have time to talk about right now. Your story also I'm not gonna mention that. Maybe later. But what I would like to add is that art and culture have a very special role to play in putting the body in a context for appreciation by all of us. And I think that's what art does. And context is everything. I mean, Michael said that he wasn't going to be walking down the street naked in Salt Lake City, that he's particular about where he goes. He's respectful of other people's sensibilities. And I think that art also has a powerful role to play in looking at the human body as both a work of art, as biology, and quite frankly, as an erotic item. All of which, as far as I'm concerned, is legitimate in that venue. One of the things that I've been looking at, I was talking to my boss about nudity, and in the dance world, we have one dance that we do where the women are topless, and it is done with a lot of projections, light projections, and quite frankly, it's done because the projections don't look the same if they're on clothing than they do with their own skin. But when we perform this piece in Utah, we do not do it nude. But everywhere else in the country, the art world at least, the dance world in particular, seems to be okay with that. So I've been doing a little bit of research in modern dance and nudity, and there's a lot of that out there. For those of you that want to be titillated, I think you can Google that. I don't think I have to tell you that. But what the use of the nude body in dance and in art, I think, has a rich history and a rich dialogue around it, a rich rhetoric around it, that I think is a very useful corollary to nudism. Or naturism. And one of the things that I wanted you to recommend was a Japanese couple by the name of Aiko and Koma. And they do this Japanese Butoh dance, which originated after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Very moving, slow moving, often done in the nude. And if you go to their website and you click on the word on the dance lament, that'll give you a good sense of why it's important in dance in particular to have nudity in order to express what you're trying to express and convey. So that's just an example that I thought I would give from my own experience. Finally, I just wanted to say that I think that I find it interesting that this article, and I know I'm referring to the article, which is not what he presented today, but the article, which is How I Became a Mormon Nudist. I'm trying to imagine an article, How I Became a Presbyterian Nudist, or even a Christian Nudist. I think that this discussion that we're having suggests what I've been often arguing, which is that Mormonism functions for a lot of people, and I would argue perhaps for Michael as well as myself, as an ethnic identity, and that we often in Mormon culture pursue other realms of spirituality. We may even be driven to other realms of spirituality. I know people who have found that in yoga, who found it in politics, who have found it in anywhere where they find their passion. And it seems to be oddly divorced from this kind of bedrock category, almost racial, of being Mormon. And I find that very interesting. And I find it curious that all of us, when we find those passions and those spiritual paths outside of priesthood meeting and relief society and the ward and the temple, that we feel as though we need to justify it by talking about how we got a testimony of nudism, a testimony of yoga, a testimony of whatever it is that's elevating us and making us more spiritual. I find that very curious, and I think it does play into the notion that Mormons are an ethnic group, and that spirituality and religion play a very parallel but separate role from that. So I'll end with that. Thank you.
All right, so we've got about 10 minutes left. David addressed some questions to you. Do you have answers in your brain? So he's going to give us some quick answers, and then we'll invite you to come up to the microphone and pepper away.
I remember the one on exhibitionism. I can't remember there was one before that.
That's the big one.
The difference between exhibitionism and naturism is, I mean, that's a good question. That's an important question. It's difficult to tell the difference. But the reason it's difficult to tell the difference is because our society equates nudity with sex. So if you're being naked, there must be a sexual motive and you're an exhibitionist. That is the difference. It's the motive. An exhibitionist is out there for shock value, for sexual arousal, not necessarily of the other person, but of himself. Oftentimes, people who report an exhibitionist will report an erection or masturbation going on. Exhibitionism is a sexual act. Naturism is an act of just being who you are. My favorite example to tell the difference between the two kinds of sex is to compare a stripper gyrating around a pole. Compare that nudity to a family innocently skinny dipping together in some pond somewhere. If you cannot tell the difference between those two kinds of nudity, then I submit that there's something wrong with you.
Come on up with a question.
Hello.
Hi.
Just one clarification, if I could. Is this even on?
Is that better?
Just one clarification. We talked about how the body is sacred and how we relate those to temples, but then at the same time, it seems like you're suggesting that we make bodies commonplace so that they're not as sexual. It seems like there's an inconsistency there because the temple, which is sacred, is not very commonplace. So maybe you could clarify that.
Well, I think it's because we're looking at it from two different points of view. to say the temple is not commonplace. We got temples all over the place. They are commonplace. I know I heard when they announced the Draper Temple, but I never really paid attention to it. And I was driving home on Bangor Highway one day and looked over there and go, oh my heck, there's a temple over there. There was a time when I had the pictures of the temples hanging up in my room. Every temple in the whole world, there's like 16 of them. I would wallpaper the whole room now. I would say the temples are commonplace. The sacred aspect of them is how we treat them. This idea that sacredness means hiding things, I think we get from the temple because we go inside and we leave the world outside, we come back out, and we don't really talk about what happened. And yet we're very familiar with the term, with the phrase, sacred, not secret. Some people made fun of that because they say, no, it is secret, the way we treat it. But it's really not. Because anybody in the world who wants to can walk into the temple and see what goes on there. Anybody. Now, there are certain prerequisites you need to fulfill before you do that. But if you want to, you can. Nobody is barred. And that's my feelings as far as my body goes. I do not hide my body from anybody except those who will disrespect it, who will be shocked by it, or who will make fun of it. The two most common reactions I get from people, the two most common negative reactions I get from people about being a naturist is either you're a pervert or you're a laughingstock. These are the kind of people that I would not consider, that I would not really consider trying to be naked around. I do it around people who understand, who respect it. I don't really think there is much difference between how we really treat the temples and how I treat, and how nature treat their bodies.
Are you in violation of the law? I mean, even when you go to places where it's commonly accepted to be a nudist, is it legal?
It depends entirely. It's just on a case-by-case basis. There are many legal places to do it. There are many places where technically it's not legal, but there's such a long tradition of it that it's not enforced. And then there are places where you'll get in trouble if you do it. And it's just it just depends on the individual how much risk they're willing to take.
Do you wear shoes when you go hiking?
I do wear shoes when I go hiking because I am not such a purist that I'm stupid.
Now, David mentioned that at one point that we have social conventions for good reasons and that there's likely practical explanations for how we've evolved to the point socially where we wear clothes. And I'm curious to know if either of you would be willing to speculate as to what some of those reasons, what some of those conventions might be. I mean, practically speaking, why is nudism a threat to existing power structures? Is it just a practical, the consequence of sort of practical social evolution that we've, started wearing clothes? But why is it that nudism, evokes the response it does of sort of like either disgust or sort of laughter or discomfort? I'm wondering if either of you would be willing to speculate.
Oh, I've already done all kinds of speculation on that. There's lots of speculation. The thing about nudity, and this addresses another one of your questions, Dave, is are there anything besides anecdotal evidence? There is remarkably little evidence as far as official studies and that kind of thing. Nudity is not studied. A whole lot of things are assumed about it, but it's not studied. There's been very few. But the few that I'm aware of, and in particular, I'm sorry I forget the name of the book, but there was a researcher named William Hartman who did an extensive study on nudists and naturists. And there have been other smaller studies as well. Incidentally, William Hartman was Mormon. Just coincidentally. Universally, what few studies have been done on the effects of nudism, and in particular on the effects of raising children as naturists, the results are almost always show that it's either has a neutral effect, it doesn't have a deleterious effect, or actually has a positive effect in the people's lives. But I didn't go into the speculation, did I? My feelings on clothing, the best I can tell from reading experts and things, is that clothing tends to start out in societies as being just decoration on the body. And if you look at more primitive tribes, you'll know what I'm talking about. They'll have teeth hanging from necklaces and tattoos and this kind of thing. And nudity is commonplace among these people, but they'll also decorate their bodies. And then the decoration happens more and more. I think that has a great deal to do with it. As far as power structures go, I have ideas on that. I'll just illustrate them with one example. The Nazi Party was very much against nudism. They were really down on it. There was a huge nudist culture in Germany when the Nazis came into power and they suppressed it. And I'll let you draw whatever conclusions you want from that.
The only thing I wanted to say, Andy, is that one of the things I learned when I was a stage critic was that, in fact, I was at the Utah Shakespearean Festival. Every article of clothing that women now wear, with the exception of brassieres, were originally worn by men. So I don't know what that says about power. Either way.
Well, somebody mentioned power structures and nudism, but then I thought the emperor without clothes. My name is Robert Poort. I'm a member of the church from the Netherlands, and my wife is from the South Pacific, so I guess I should be a nudist, but I'm not. But I want to try it out. But I think, I think nudity actually is sexual. It's just that we have come, especially as Mormons, come to define sexuality in such a narrow terms that sexuality for us is having sex. That's a whole different thing, you know. Maybe when you walk through the woods and you feel the wind on your body, that's a sexual feeling, and it's a wonderful feeling. But we have such a narrow defined definition of sexuality that it has become a problem. To such an extent that, let's say, in the typical church discussion, we have this deeply inbred fear for sexuality to such an extent that we don't even dare say the word. Not in church, certainly not. So we have a code word for sexuality, which is morality, which kind of shows where we are. So I think once we overcome our fear for sexuality with responsibility, then nudism will automatically fall in its place. But unless we have overcome that fear and that childish approach of, not even childish, as you mentioned, children do not have that aspect of fear, but if our immature fear of sexuality, if we cannot overcome that, then naturism will be out of the question, I think.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. I try to distinguish between those two things by saying that there's a difference between sexuality and sensuality. A lot of times we think of sensuality as sexuality, and sexuality is part of sensuality. It's a subset of it. When I go hiking in the woods and feel all those sensory experiences, that is a sensual experience for me. In the traditional meaning of the word, I don't consider it a sexual experience. But I think there is kind of a blurred line there between those two.
Okay, we've got time for one more question, and anyone else wants to talk with D. Michael Martindale as well.
All right, this is a quick one. Among Mormon nudists, are there more women or more men who have adopted naturism?
What would your guess be?
I guess more men.
You are right.
Why is that?
Young women's classes. There seems to be a tendency, men are more adventurous. Men do not have all these issues, and it isn't just Mormon issues, it's just general in our society, of women having to be attractive. And since no woman has a perfect body, she doesn't like to show it. And men just don't have that issue to as great a degree, and it's easier for them to do it. There does tend to be more men, particularly among Mormons. You got that added thing of modesty in dress, and I mean, the session previous to lunch in this room about young people and sexuality was kind of a horror story as I listened to some of the things that get taught in young women's classes. I was freaking out. I'm going, I wish I hadn't let my daughter go to young women's.
All right.
Do you mind if I make one more comment?
If you're really quick.
I'm really quick. To me, what is important to me is not to sit here and convince you all to run out and be naked. I think that would be cool if you did, but I know that's not going to happen, and in a way, I don't really care. What matters to me is the attitude towards nudity in our society makes it so I cannot live the way I want to live. I live in fear. I am constantly at risk of going to jail for what I believe in and practicing my beliefs. And that's why I bother doing this, because I want people, I hope, I help people understand that I am not a pervert, I am not a laughingstock. You might not agree with what I believe, but I have serious reasons, and I'm very serious about what I believe.
Good for now.